The following podcast contains real reviews and the ridiculous reactions of two would-be oracles of the internet. The opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Seriously.
Welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Hi, I forgot to say hi. This is really important to me because I need you to know you're here. You're about to hear a podcast. It's going to be funny. You're going to hear some internet reviews. We're going to make jokes after them. Wow. What more do you need in an hour of content?
Very little.
Very little. Two guys, you know.
Two guys, a couple of bucket hats, a couple of brews. Let's crack one open, start the episode. What are you drinking today? A big old bowl of toilet water? Yeah.
Yeah, I got toilet water IPA down from McGurney Brewery.
Is
sponsoring today's episode. If we get 100 likes on this, I'm going to boof one of their beers next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Going to pour it in my bucket hat and then pour it into a funnel, and then that's going to go into my beep.
You brought me back. You brought me back.
I knew I would. I can start this week. You want to start this week? What you got?
I got one that I'm going to read it dramatically.
Okay.
It's maybe not the wildest review I've ever brought, but something about it just, I could picture this poor, I could picture Google reviewer Juice Box writing this review. For an Arby's. And this Arby's just happens to be in Jamestown, not the one you're thinking of. It's Jamestown, North Dakota.
Well, that's got to be the worst of the two Jamestowns, at least the less interesting one of the two.
Yeah, I mean, they got an Arby's. I don't know if they got much else.
That's the only 10-gallon hat they got in town is the one on the sign.
Here's what Juicebox writes. I'm from out of town and had to make a stop. I had ordered a beef and cheddar, and when I received my sandwich, there was beef, but no cheddar. I was so hungry, I had to just eat it.
Oh.
Didn't have time to come back and complain. I don't see why people want to be paid more when they can't even get a basic beef and cheddar correct. 2 stars.
Brother, I'm sorry you didn't get the cheddar you paid for, but it's not like they gave you an underwear sandwich you had to choke down to survive.
I had to eat a cheddarless beef. God.
What am I, some kind of barbarian? Disgusting.
That's not even something you really have to, like, unwrap your Sammy to check. You give that bag a whiff. Oh, yeah, I smell the ched. It's in there. We're good to go.
I kid you not. There is, I would say, we'll say city blocks, right? Like, 2 city blocks, real Chicago, New York city blocks, away from where I work. Last night in the freezing tundra of Wisconsin, I smelled the curly fries on the wind. I was like, oh my, it was the clearest curly fry smell. I could not have smelled them clear if someone opened a bag 2 feet away from me.
Oh, man.
And shoved it in my face and said, you like the smell of curly fries? You like Arby's? So that is all to say, yes, the ingredients at Arby's are pungent. They have the meats and they got the stinks as well. They go hand in hand.
You would know. Unless you're just not a fan, Juicebox, you're not a frequent Arby's-er.
So this dude was in a real rush, right? And he just had to grab a sandwich right off the exit and keep on going while he's eating, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of his other reviews. It looks like he spends time in Minnesota, Wisconsin. I don't know. Certainly not a lot in North Dakota.
But he was in a rush and he had to grab the sandwich and get flying back on the highway and eat the sandwich while he was driving.
Yeah, just suffering.
Just suffering. Not that crazy, but definitely a gamble to go for the beef and the cheddar when you don't have that full two-hand control.
You think there could be some drip action on his lap?
There's not only drip, there is like custard-like cheese explosions. You know, when you bite and there's a burst? I should say cheesy bursts.
Mm-hmm.
Onto the face if he's got facial hair. Oh, no. Because you can't clean that off. You can't napkin that.
That just pushes it in deeper. It's like trying to clean your deep pile carpet.
Right. And you can hope for a nice, delicate scoop to get most of the excess off. And then you can sort of lick and wipe. But there's going to be...
residue.
There's going to be so much residue. It's each follicle is going to have this case of cheese armor that you're going to forget about, discover 3 hours later and be disgusted with yourself.
Get the club soda out. It's just like... spill on mom's old shag carpet.
That's probably why the Arby's drinks are so big. So you can just splash yourself in the face with your soda when you're done eating your beef and cheddar and still have enough to, you know, wet the whistle.
Well, yeah, I think that got us off to a nice rolling start.
Sure.
Sorry, juice box.
I wonder if there was Arby's sauce on it, because that's the other thing that comes.
Yeah, is that horsey sauce, right?
That's different. The Arby's sauce is like a special sauce. It's got to be ketchup and something.
Ketchup
like
and mayo. That's that frightening pink goo.
They also have horsey sauce, but I think that's
barbecue-ish kind of?
Oh, that's horseradish.
I'm all over the place. Shows how much I go to Arby's.
Yeah, Putty would be so disappointed in you, dude.
I love Arby's.
I brought such good reviews. I'm so good at this podcast. I'll just cook on this one. This review is for... starting with a scary one. I don't know why. The review's not scary. It's a scary movie. From Amazon, A Nun's Curse. Looks like a real piece of work. 2019. I wouldn't even call this a B movie. It seems a couple letter grades lower. Got a review from Walt. I'm going to... everything here included the... Walt is in all caps. The title's in all caps. The review's in all caps. I'm going to save my vocal cords.
Okay.
just read it. With some semblance of normalcy. So by Walt, what a terrifying film and violent. Walt writes, this is not really a religiously deep film. There is a vicious nun, but that is all the piousness. As always, and I like the film a lot, a group of early 20s friends go hiking and camping when they are very, very far from their car. And there's a terrible storm coming. One girl, a photographer, remembers a church nearby with many such legends. But she loves to take pictures, so the group is talked into it. But she is also remembering tortures and atrocities committed by the infamous... dot, 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 Sister Monday.
Oh, no.
Dot, 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 dot. Never hesitating onward with their sojourn. The storm arrives, and they are in a horrific place. One by one, bodies disappear, others explode, heads implode, and so much more fun. I said this is not religious, but it is violent. Although Sister Monday needs a dentist, she is still terrifying and unusual. Egregious events occur. As the denouement, i.e. unraveling, arrives, you will have the final conclusion finale in all its glory. Be sure to wait for the final loud twist of an ending. Enjoy this movie and ignore the simplistic reviews. Movies are for having a good time, right? Also, the music emoji, is great. 5 stars.
All right, first thing I want to say is thank you for allowing me to enjoy movies. Yeah, movies are for enjoyment.
You're right. I hate these people telling us not to enjoy movies these days, Matt.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I watched movies and I hated it. I hear that so often.
You know what? I think I do. my parents would bring me, it was the Great Depression, and my parents would bring me to the theater, and I would kick and scream and cry and hiss as though a demon was throwing acid on me because I did not want to be. I could not handle the shame of enjoying a movie. Yeah, it's so nice, you know. I'm always so guilty when I enjoy a movie. I left Godzilla Minus One not guilty of the atrocities of war that my country has committed, but guilty that I had just enjoyed a film with some popcorn.
How dare you.
Disgusting. And I am not a pious man.
And also, that strange comment about Sister Monday's teeth.
Uh-huh.
Like, she could have her teeth fixed, but she's still scary.
Yeah, usually scary. Bad teeth, that's goes hand in hand with a scary dude or chick.
It's a package deal. We don't want to, like, oh, poor Sister Monday. If she only really hopes she gets her teeth fixed one of these days. She's scary, though. Nah. You're not going to pluck the plumes from the peacock, are you? Come on.
How many horror movie antagonists have wonderful teeth?
I was just thinking of a big horror smile. And that was just that guy from Courage that loves to shave things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he had good teeth, though. He just had a very big smile.
He just had a great smile. Yeah, I think that he was slightly lacking. And he always, he loved to, like, narrate his episodes.
Yeah.
In his weird little limericks.
Oh, that's a goodie.
That's goody. But I have a feeling that 11-minute episode of Courage, the Cowardly Dog Cartoon Network animation, had a far bigger budget than whatever was going on with this situation.
I almost, though, want to see how accurate the descriptions of bodies exploding and heads imploding.
Well, there's so much more fun. They didn't even sell the farm, they're telling us.
There could be a lot of action going on.
This nun's got a plan, and she is carrying it out, okay? Her teeth might not be the greatest, but she's terrifying. The events, they're egregious. You know, they might not be totally pious, but they are. That I wanted. The juxtaposition of religiousness and violence. I said this is not religious, but it is violent. What does that mean, dude?
So is she killing people because they're sinning? Is that the wrinkle in this?
I mean, you know, gotta be. Maybe.
Why else would a nun be creepy and killing people?
Sure. Like that one TikTok of the two lesbian ladies kissing for a photo shoot in Italy, and the nun comes in and is like, what are you doing? Whoosh, whoosh. Yeah, she starts doing kung fu on their ass. See, every nun, a lot like a D&D character, everyone sort of has a subclass, you know?
Nun comma ninja.
Yeah.
Nun comma nightwalker.
Right. And, you know, most of them are for
nun
action
baker.
Combat. There are some bakers. Someone's got to make the bread. So the action nuns can carry out their pious duties. I don't even know what's going on, man. I think we covered. We covered the imploding, the exploding, the violence, and the religiousness. Movies are for having a good time. Oh, what do you think of? I didn't really read the other reviews. This one, and it's capital letters, sort of grabbed me, and I thought this was good enough.
Okay.
But ignore the simplistic reviews.
Yes. That he's saying everyone who says it's a bad movie, they're dumb.
They're simpletons here.
That are just saying that. Look at all these lowercase reviews. I use big letters.
The uppercase, you know, the uppercase for the upper crust.
There it is.
It is a sort of an aesthetic choice for sure, because it's the title and it's the username.
That is sticking to what you know, sticking to your guns.
What do you know? I'm looking at them all. Here, let me just send you the screenshot. It is sort of funny to see all in one place where you can't you can only read the first few letters of the review. So there's basically a grid on his profile, and they're all the reviews are they're mostly 5 stars, and it's all capital letters with ellipses, cutting them off so fast because you can't fit that many capital letters in these little boxes here on the Amazon profile. Rubber's got almost 2,000 hearts, though.
Hey.
Might be worth a revisit here. We'll let this sleeping Walt lie.
Cynthia Rothrock is a black belt in what? That's what I want to know.
Right, there's so much later. Here to learn. Well, Walt, we'll see you soon, perhaps, buddy. Do you have a review?
Yeah, let me just see what I wanna do. Yeah, I'll do this one. I talked last week about how I kept finding sets of reviews. I think I did one from this set, but I'm going to dive back into the Starkist Tuna Amazon reviews. This is specifically Starkist Chunk Light Tuna in Oil, 5-ounce pack of 12.
It's the Chunk Light to me, for me, you know?
Yeah, man. Oh, and I guess this is Chunk Light in Water. We got 48 cans, dude. Oh, my God. PJ. No. Amazon user PJ titles their review disgusting diarrhea inducing mush tuna gate all over again. And PJ writes, this tuna may have caused a diarrhea like condition in me known as carioria.
That sounds like a Brazilian martial art. Brazilian nuns do that, dude.
Quick Google and see if I can get a pronunciation, because I definitely want to say that right. Oh, it's going to take me to YouTube. Google doesn't even want to. Google's like, we're not going to take a chance on that. Go to YouTube. Oh, that's all. Carioria.
Carioria.
Just sounds like you're slurring. Carioria.
It sounds like you're a diarrhea like.
Yeah, okay.
Patient zero. You're giving diarrhea to all types of people. It's real? You're reading about this stuff?
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's an oily orange-colored bowel movement that can occur when people eat fish that contains indigestible wax esters. Good God. Anyway.
So it's a special diarrhea subclass. I'm learning so much from this review. Continue.
That's like diarrhea super saiyan.
Ultra instinct.
PJ continues, nothing else was introduced to my diet except this tuna when I experienced symptoms that matched the description for carioria. What this suggests is that it is possible my cans were contaminated by a fish known as escalar fish, a.k.a. ex-lax fish. Latin is I'm not going to do the Latin. Forget it. Which has a history of being mislabeled by the vernacular name of white tuna. I had never experienced carioria before, so it was extremely distressing to have such watery, oily, odd-smelling excretion. I initially thought it was bloody liquid, but it turns out it's more an orange color. Escalar fish causes this condition in those who consume it. Just because they are supposed to follow FDA guidelines for fish species does not mean things can't go wrong in the supply chain. It is not unreasonable or defamatory to suggest my tuna was contaminated by escalar. In my opinion, it was contaminated. I issued a return on my cans and got a full refund without having to return. If you are having the same issues as me, I recommend you do the same. Don't let them win by selling us food that is literally worse than cat food. I wouldn't even feed this to a cat. 1 star, but there is an edit to the review.
Oh, okay.
Edit. Because Starkist thinks I was, quote, defaming them, I have removed the speculative statements from my review and reworded other parts. I didn't need to, but they injured my confidence in my own review, so I did. As an honest Amazon shopper and reviewer since 2006, I take great offensive to one of my reviews being called false and defamatory by a large company like Starkist in such an official and public capacity.
Oh, come on.
In a display of stubbornness and pride, they did not apologize for my horrible experience with their product. And if anything, their responses left me wondering just how deep the rabbit hole goes.
I'm going to say I don't like this person.
I don't like we're not on PJ's side anymore.
I At first, I was going to say, the first thing I was going to say before the edit was, I hate the switch to the defensive legalese.
Okay, yeah.
Being defensive in your reviews, it just kills your opinion. Why should anyone care about what you have to say if you have to put a footnote that's as long as what you have to say about what you have to say?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it was an edit. I'd like to see the freshie, but I don't know. This makes me think, and maybe I'm putting a lot of words in a lot of mouth, but it makes me think that they've been talking a lot of shit online, and they've been feeling pretty self-righteous about all their justice, and they, you know, they're getting a couple helpfuls on their reviews, and they're feeling pretty good about all this good stuff they're doing, and they're thinking that, you know, accusing a company with no evidence other than, I don't know, your alleged stool sample color that this company is putting different products in its container than what it says it is, which is a big accusation for a company. And it doesn't sound like they removed the review. Someone just emailed them and said, hey, that's rude or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Abyss talk back. And they freaked out. They thought, oh my God, the Abyss talked back to me. All these people that think I'm helpful, they're going to see this. They're laughing at me. They just have this crazy misconception about how much their reviews matter. And here on ReviewParty.com, we don't want to discourage anyone from leaving internet reviews. We love internet reviews. They do matter. But in the grand scheme of things, one review on some giant companies, giant biggest product, you know, they some social media intern clap back at your meme review. Big deal. Live your life. No one cares. That's my two cents about that.
Looks like PJ drops a lot of 1 and 2 stars as well. So I think you're hitting the nail on the head.
They got a little comeuppance for their little self-righteous hatred that they're spewing out. And I love a little self-righteous hatred aimed at some corporations. Don't get me wrong, but have a little confidence in yourself if that's the road you're going to walk, brother. But to get to the tuna, I think I got beef here too. I originally had beef, and the beef evolved into a whole how they're just carrying themselves. But let's take the beef back to the tuna.
Okay.
Surf and turf. And YouTube algorithm be going crazy lately. I'm sure anyone who frequents YouTube has experienced some weird videos that they click on once out of curiosity, and it completely changes what you do have to view of it. And I'm watching this guy who eats old cans of sardines. Into sardine. He has this video explaining how to eat sardines, how to get into sardines as sort of an eating hobby.
What?
Yeah. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Can't wait to corrupt my algorithm.
It's mostly a video sort of encouraging people not to be scared to eat sardines and sort of giving them an entry level into enjoying sardines, I think. Because I think this dude who does sardine content gets a lot of like, how do I eat sardines? And he's kind of just like, well, it's as easy as opening this can and eating them. So it's not a bad video. But in the video, he talks about sort of sardines you'll find at the store in your area versus like the best sardines versus like
Italian sardines,
low quality ones. And he shows this brand, and it's like, this is like the bait. This is where they get good. These aren't the best, but this is the, you know, if you want to really eat some good sardines, this is just fine for your buck. And those can of sardines, and I'm sure there's a whole world of tuna that's just the same. They don't start that. The Starkist is under that tier, bro. You can't be like a tuna connoisseur needing 48 cans delivered to your doorstep and be getting mad at some regular ass brand, dude. It's not, you're not ordering artisanal tuna. It's freaking Starkist, bro. It's going to be mid.
It's going to kind of suck.
It's going to kind of suck. But I think I've soapboxed that. I've soapboxed quite enough. Do you have anything about the tuna to fill in there?
No, there was one other review that is also long. It was just funny.
Yeah, let's read that one. That's a nice palate cleanser before the break, I think.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Fine. Time. Because Gloria, sorry, her name's all in caps, and so is her review title.
Oh, she mark writes, of a good reviewer.
Disgusting. Not fit for human consumption. And she writes, I have always thought that Starkist tuna is the worst. That being said, I bought this for our cat, as Bumblebee and Chicken of the Sea had no Prime availability, and the prices were insane. I needed something to mix in the crushed wormer tablets. Our cat is an Olympic class ratter and has to have wormer regularly. She's smart as can be, and finicky too, so it's nearly impossible to disguise the crushed tablet. In Bumblebee tuna, it worked great, but with this crappy Starkist, she did not go for it. It is so watery, the juice turned a yucky yellow, and our cat know instantly it's drugged. With Bumblebee tuna, it's so delicious, she gobbles it down before realizing it's tainted. Frankly, I'm shocked that Starkist is still in business. Their product is terrible in every category going back 30 years. I check every 5 years, and it's even worse now. Every major grocery store chain's own brand of tuna is far superior.
Oh, that's such an insult.
That's a big burn. Another thing worth mentioning is that when you get to the very least desirable tuna left to process, the tuna all the other companies have rejected for their canned product, you're getting a tuna that has the highest levels of toxins in it as well as a much higher risk of contaminations by germs like salmonella and other food poisoning germs. Just looking at it in the can makes your stomach churn. And I am ashamed even to feed it to our cat. 1 star.
Now that's how you write a goddamn 1 star review.
I am glad you held my feet to the fire on that. Gloria did not hold back.
No. No. That's how you burn a company up. Let's go. I'm ready for break now. Ooh,
me too.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to... a reviewer redux, and we got a bad boy back on our hands.
We got a bad boy.
It's like it was a couple weeks ago where we had maybe it's been over a month now. We had just a review of Lake Michigan in total.
Yeah, that was a great review. And,
yeah, it was great. This is the dog park. That was it. That was the
that's
one.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember as I was looking through many reviews of Lake Michigan, a familiar name showed up, and maybe even since then we've returned to this reviewer. But you know, we're all trying to do healthy things in the new year because it's middle of January at time of recording, and you know, even the best of intentions come shattering down, and you fall into the same old habits. So we're back with Trent Schneider. The hog and buck hunter.
Oh yeah, we had so many questions about this guy's lifestyle and sort of
his
motivations.
Yeah, there talks about how he's a god of reviews and women, or a god of deer and stuff.
Well, I mean, in a Greek god sense, you get to be, your dominion gets to reign over a lot of stuff, right?
It's true.
The god of reviews, the god of deer and women. Sometimes he takes the form of a 22 rifle.
Well, here is Trent Schneider's review of Lake Michigan. Trent writes, I grew up very in the vicinity. It's just a strange sentence. I have been in pursuit of trophy whitetail bucks in the forest preserve along the lakefront since I was 14 years old. Have fished in this great lake since I was a young boy. I even caught a few conversations charges for hitting two seagulls on a wave runner. This lake provides unlimited recreation and entertainment for children and adults alike. 5 stars.
I'm glad he gave it a 5 stars. That part I agree with, but I don't know. Those things are kind of true of me, too. I grew up on Lake Michigan. I hunted there, white-tailed deer. I've gone fishing there. I've harassed seagulls, not full-on kill. Not that I would admit that on air, but I promise I have not.
Yeah,
laid a seagull down.
Now that you mention it, my upbringing is not so dissimilar from Trent's either.
Sure, but you would never say, you would never put it in the way that Trent is putting it, would you?
I would never.
I would say I grew up on Lake Michigan, a bike ride away. I would say, yeah, I went hunting. I wouldn't say, up and down the fine shores of Lake Michigan, I chased and wrangled trophy whitetail bucks. I went hunting a couple times, ate some candy bars in the deer shack with my uncle. I, nature is wonderful, but you're gassing it up in the wrong way, I think, Trent. But let's hear some more, Trent. Let's let Trent speak.
Okay. Here's Trent's review of Rossi Farms, Inc. Trent writes, I have been getting corn and soybeans for my deer from Jim Rossi for years and sent many people to their farm for products. I will rate this farm the highest possible, even though, and I want to pause the review right here.
Sure.
He writes even, and then no, like I
even,
know.
Even no.
Even no.
Even no.
My order
from the Michigan woods.
Even though my order for 250 pounds of corn I texted Jim in April for was never filled. 5 stars.
You can't just text a dude just because you know him and he works at a... Just go in and order it for real,
go
bro.
To the farm, fill out a form, because I'm sure they're using paper forms.
I have a word in mind for what I think Trent's reviews are, but let's hear a couple more before I put that label on.
I'll follow the deer track then. Here's a review of Rogers Service. I have mastered the art of the review, and I use them wisely. Unfortunately, I had to use Rogers twice this year. First, when I swerved to avoid hitting 3 deer on Russell Road in my 2013 BMW X3. That car was totaled, and dealing with their professionals was exactly that. They were very honest and professional. The second time I ordered... the second time I ordered a new Goodyear run flat tire for my brand new 2016 BMW X3. Northwest Auto, where I had always used in the past when ordering through Tire Rack, did not have the capability to do run flats, so I went through Rogers. They were very congenial, and the technician brought it to my attention that the rim was bent. I will definitely use their services in the future and refer others to their quality establishment. 5 stars.
These reviews are just, they're making my eyes just like shoot into the back of my head, dude. It's they have this strange curse over me.
This one's gonna curse you too. This is for Chili's Grill and Bar.
Welcome to Chili's.
Update 2019, September 1st. I go to this restaurant quite often on my way to and from several places I go often.
Oh, see, I like that sentence actually.
I always sit at the bar, and the Corona is ice cold and food is delicious. The bartenders and servers are very congenial, and there's usually always someone there that is easy on the eyes. On this particular occasion, the young gent across from me was a real attention grabber, winky face. This is one lucky guy. He should play the lottery immediately. She looks incredible. I heart emoji, smooch emoji, smaller I heart, no, star eye emoji. Early into the review process. It's been a few years since I've been here. Oh, this is separate from the update, I guess. It's been a few years since I've been here, ordered the 10-ounce steak. That was delicious. I have been blessed with unparalleled vision for deer and evil. We've heard this one before. All glory goes to God.
I'm on board. I want to hear what he's got to say.
Without the Lord Jesus Christ, I am nothing. Check out my greatness on YouTube. 5-4 stars.
It's just, there are things I liked about that review. There's attention grabbing bits. There's parts that made you smile. But these reviews are performative, Trent.
Yeah, I'll give you one. You can keep going. I've got one more that I think should cleanse our palate.
Yeah, I just want to say, it's a little weird when the reviews are for the reviewer and not for the audience. You know what
okay.
I mean? Okay. He's writing these reviews for Trent, and I guess, you know, do what you got to do in this scary modern world, brother. But okay, cleanse our Trent.
This is our final review from Trent today. This is a review of Denny's in Gurnee, Illinois.
Denny's.
Trent writes, "This place was all I asked for. 5 stars."
There we go, Trent. That's a good review. And that's, you know, you don't ask for much when you go to Denny's. If you're not asking for much when you go to a Denny's, you're going to have a great time. Because they're going to deliver it, and just a little more. Even if you got a weird little dude who's selling you Hobbit meals incorrectly. I can't just leave that reference out there. One time me and Matt were on a school improv road trip, and we went to a Denny's late night, and our waiter, it's like his second day, weirdest little dude ever. And the Hobbit just came out, and there's like Hobbit themed meals, and he's like discouraging everyone from ordering those. And when one person did anyway, and it was very disappointing. But yeah, Trent, good review. So he's got it in him. He's just got a big head from that power that he has inside.
Yeah. His hubris is what it is.
He's like a cleric of reviews, you know. He's just a little too lost in the sauce, though. Happens to the best of us, Trent. I hope he's doing good things.
Me too.
Out there in the world. Which one should I read? I'm gonna read this one just so I make sure we pack this review in. It is semi-timely. Matt, it is, and I apologize for the psychic damage the statement will do to you and anyone in the audience who's around our age. Ed and Eddie turned 25 years old last week. He did the theme song noise.
Yeah. Wow.
January 4th, 1999. So from IMDb, I have a review for one of my favorite shows, Ed and Eddie. I guess I should preface, even though Ed and Eddie has like a 7.5 on IMDb, which is pretty normal, the written reviews are 10s across the board. No one has anything bad to say, but everyone was referencing these haters, these Ed and Eddie haters that they were fending off in their reviews, saying how these haters were wrong, even though it was overwhelmingly positive. And if you go, you know, these old shows on IMDb, you can look at way back in the reviews. It's from 2000 to frickin' 2021, people are talking about these Ed and Eddie haters.
Wow.
And I don't really know them. Anyone who likes cartoons that I know likes Ed and Eddie. So I found the one-star reviews kind of sucked and were boring, but I found a nice middling review here. I won't give away the star rating. But Mitsubishi Zero, April 21st, 2019. Titled their review, "I Never Liked It." They write, "I couldn't really get into that show. The animation's not all that, and most of the characters are obnoxious except for Double D. The whole premise of the show are that these three boys who live in a cul-de-sac with the other neighborhood kids, whom they try to scam in every episode, whether it be for money or jawbreakers. Isn't that a good premise? That's one way to make your characters likable. To be fair, most of the other kids aren't the kind you'd want to know. Probably the weirdest kid is a near bald kid with a wooden yes! plank with a face as a friend.
I knew it'd be Johnny.
This came out when Cartoon Network had great cartoons. This isn't one of them. And with that being said, just skip it 5 stars.
Oh, okay. Hey. If you're going to say skip it and give it a 5-star, I'm gonna be like, okay, I'll bite my tongue if I'm seeing this person in person.
In person, sure. If this is sort of an acquaintance, you're having a sort of yeah. party it like,
it's,
conversation.
Yeah, it's a party, and this is the boyfriend of some guy, some friend. All right, I'm going to see you maybe 2 times per year. Maybe.
I don't have to pick this bone. It's not worth it.
My goodness, this show is wonderful.
It is, I think, by definition, the opposite of a skip for a cartoon fan. It is by no means a skip. No. You're going to have a reaction to this cartoon.
Yeah, I feel like Cartoon Network was boss at the time.
Yes. Pound for pound, insane lineup on those Friday nights. Woo!
Were there skips that were on Cartoon Network? The only thing I can think of, and I hate to say this because it's a fantastic show, is some people might not be into Samurai Jack because it's a genre.
Yeah, it's a very different flavor than the other cartoons, definitely. And it's sort of an art piece as well, I think, house piece. Now, I can see that. But yeah, that lineup, that like Dexter's Lab, Ed and Eddie, 1999-2001 era, really, and there's a lot of good stuff that came after and before, but wow, they were going crazy, dude. Johnny Bravo?
I was thinking of JB, yeah.
My man would have JB on the mind, as you do. Oh, but let's talk about Johnny, shall we? Johnny and Plank.
Johnny
to me is just the perfect neighborhood kid encapsulated in a cartoon character.
Yes.
Everyone who grew up hanging out with kids in the neighborhood, or even if you didn't want to, there was that kid who was like both the biggest extrovert ever to exist and the biggest loner. They're literally like, they're so transient, those type of weird kids.
The kid who just plays in piles of dirt.
He plays in piles of dirt, shows up at dinner time at your house and asks what's going on.
Oh, man, look, he's walking on the neighbor's fence. He fell.
What?
Okay, he didn't hurt anything.
Right, just sort of a cryptid of a person. sort of phases in and out of reality.
A little creature of the neighborhood.
right. Sort of a neighborhood spirit. A neighborhood, I don't know what you'd call it. Like a fae guardian of the neighborhood. A little trickster entity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the type of person. A lot of sitcoms have that type of kid. Beans from,
From Ev. Even Stevens.
Even Stevens, yeah. That's definitely that kid. Even the girl in Full House, the neighbor girl. Even though she isn't as weird with it as some of the other kids in that trope, I think she's part of that. But anyway, yeah, Ed and Eddie's special. Every character archetype captures a character. They're so real, even though they're so ridiculous. And you knew those kids. Those are the kids you grew up with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably viewing it with rose-colored glasses.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know I would still enjoy it if I went back and watched it. I don't know if kids today, but I have said this before, probably on the show too, that Craig of the Creek... Uh-huh. Is like a modern, it's got the same spirit.
Sure.
So if there are any elder Ed and Eddie fans out there, treat yourself to some Craig of the Creek. There's like Sonic references, but like they're in-universe Sonic.
Uh-huh.
It just blew my mind.
I think there's an episode where they talk about Marvel versus Capcom 2 in Craig of the Creek.
Dang.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Which is a cut that I can respect for sure.
It's got flavors of NNA, a little bit of Kids Next Door-ish as well, which, dang, that was a show. Oof.
Well, if do take Matt's recommendation, but if you want to Internet Archive does have all of Ed and Eddie on it in that good aspect ratio, too. I hate watching shit on Netflix and they ruin the aspect ratio, dude. Give me the box. Give me the box. But I can tell you, it stood the test of time. And what I notice now is in between every gag, there's a dad joke. Like Ed makes like a pun, or Eddie will make like a soles of your feet. It's very smart. There's a lot of they pack as much joke in that silly show as they can, and it's so good. But do you have a review? Enough of us being happy. Let's get pissed again.
I think we can be happy with this one.
Sure.
Other than, like, I don't know at what point I found this. It looks like I was going to post it on our Instagram at reviewparty.com, but just left it in drafts for who knows how long.
Years. I mean,
a month and a half, because it's from the movie Poor Things. It's a Letterboxd review. I must have clipped off the user's name, and I don't have the original image, and I'm not going to go search for it, because if it's your review, yell at us. Send us an email.
Yep. I'll add a robot voice to this part saying who it was, or put an annotation in the description. But
so,
find it if you really want to find it.
Yeah. Letterboxd review from Poor Things. They write, "At first I was like, is this ethical? But then I was like, wow, bisexual, feminist, socialist icon for real. Then I was like, hell hath no fury, like a mother/daughter scorned. And finally I was like, oh, this is the same guy who made The Lobster. That puts everything into perfect context. Also, I kept giggling, imagining Ruffalo hulking out every time he got pissed. Anyway, I want to be exactly like Bella Baxter when I grow up. Insecure, straight white men hate her. Goats and brothel owners love her." Alternate review, quote, "That's my secret, Cap. I'm always horny." 5 stars.
So this is the weird Mark Ruffalo movie.
Yeah, the weird Mark Ruffalo, Emma Stone movie.
Yeah. Knowing it's The Lobster Guy makes me going from like, oh, I'll watch that if, you know, if the opportunity falls in my lap type reaction to, oh, Lobster Guy did that movie? I got to see that movie.
Right. Yeah, I thought that this looks quirky. This could be fun or it could be awful, but Lobster Guy, I know I'm going to remember it if nothing else.
I think that's a good way. Yeah, Lobster is a movie you cannot get that shit out of your head. My roommates watched it the other day, and I watched part of it with them, man. Just the
mustache.
Just the mustache. Even the, like, ridiculous story and the sort of plot line aside, like, just the vibe, the feel of the cinematography and the dialogue, like the way they got all those artists on board to do that very specific weird thing is really crazy to me. So I'm ready for some horny Hulk. As per usual, nothing's changed here.
That's got Willem in it too. I bet it's a real gag of a time.
Yeah, Mr. Defoe. I was watching his, what is it, where they go, they're just in a closet with a bunch of movies in that fancy movie distributor.
Uh-huh.
And they just, like, look for fancy movies they see and talk about them. And I watched Willem's, and I'm not going to watch any of those weird artsy-fartsy movies he recommended, but boy, is he a joy just to listen to, be around. And a Wisconsin native, it always gets me. It's like, my favorite type of Wisconsin guys are just flamboyant, artsy Wisconsin guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They really cut a different rug. Have you seen this one?
I haven't. I would like to, though.
Yeah. Lobster Guy, man. Now I feel driven. I feel like... Like, when I found out Godzilla Minus One was getting 2 more weeks in the States, I was like, well, I have to see it now. I can't miss that chance again. That's like, the Lobster Guy made this. That's what that statement does to me. It's just like, oh, there's a drive. Well, I hope this episode drove you to something other than insanity, unless, you know, that's where you want to be. Then, brother, welcome to ReviewParty.com. Thanks for listening. We got new episodes every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviewsday. If you'd like to send an absurd review for us to muse over, send us an email with a hyperlink to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include your name so we can throw you some credit.
If you want to check out what I actually post on Instagram at reviewparty.com. Also, hey, brother, sister, friend, amorphous goo. We've got a TikTok too. You should, if you're like, man, listen, 52 minutes every week is kind of an ordeal. You can listen to us a minute at a time on TikTok at reviewparty.com. You can find some stuff, I assume, on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at reviewpartypod. And hey, Letterboxd, that thing I just read a review from, we got one of those review parties. Search it. You can find us. What do we also have? A website. Wow. That's right. all the listening platforms, if you're sick of this one, whatever you're listening on, I don't know, maybe just try something new. Why not? It's a new year, new you. There's also the blog. Reviews are written about all the time, every week, pretty much. Go check that out. And just look at a lot of blue stuff. There's a lot of blue, some balloons, I think. Yeah, it's Review Party Hangout.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks to everybody's nosebleeds. Bread for Breakfast is a song that they wrote. It's great. We asked if we could use it for our podcast. They said yeah, because they're cool. And you can hear more cool songs by them on their Spotify. For example, Nosebleeds, one word. I'm going to do an extra plug. The real ones know that plug time is over, but sometimes we got to throw in some extra ones. Keep you on your toes. Leave us a review wherever you listen. We are the review podcast, so having nice stars next to the podcast is nice. iTunes, looking real sharp, gamers. Thank you. Spotify, yeah, that 4.7, juicing. Keep it up, folks. We appreciate it. I did go on Podchaser the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, what a hell site. But
I haven't been on there in a while.
Yeah, the first review we have on there really made me laugh. I don't think I ever really looked at it before. it's something like, if I wanted to see reviews, I would just go on Amazon and find them myself, not listen to these idiots make their own jokes afterwards. That one rules.
That's awesome.
That one's one of the, we should put that like on the website.
Oh, that is a good idea.
With like big fancy quotes around it. yeah. In script font. Anyway. I got a funny review to see us out. We don't make too many jokes after these last ones, in case that bugs you. This is a review for Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Extended Edition by Elijah Wood from Amazon. MG titles their review, Great Movie. They write, can never go wrong with a great movie. 5 stars.
That's true.
Got me there, bud.